Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour here on Tide 99.1. I'm Chris Stewart with you until 2 o'clock. We'll step aside Paul Feinbaum and the SEC Network. Somebody who is seen quite often, as she should be, on the SEC Network and on the other ESPN platforms. Joining us now on our Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage, talking about Maria Taylor, who was on the sidelines, Jordan-Hare Stadium on Saturday night. Maria, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on again, Chris.
Of course. Appreciate it very much. I know Monday's a busy day trying to get everything reset after the travel of the weekend, but you had a good one. Boy, what an entertaining ball game, Auburn and South Carolina. I was a little busy myself on Saturday night, but obviously doing a lot of scoreboard watching, as is, you know, what you're prone to do these days in the SEC. And that one was back and forth, about as entertaining as you'll find.
Absolutely. We had five ties in that game, and I think ultimately what happened was we saw a shootout between two amazing play callers. I mean, the mutual respect between both of those coaches. It was basically as if the defense never showed up or even had any kind of value in that kind of matchup. I mean, back and forth, every single time the offense took the field, we were looking forward to seeing what each head coach had drawn up for those guys.
Yeah, and take me through the fourth quarter, though, because I didn't get a chance to see anything really but highlights, and you're seeing, you know, two teams swapping scores in the first quarter. They both get 14 points in the second and third quarters, but Auburn able to get a 7-0 or outscoring them 7-0, and that was the difference in the ball game. Did the defenses finally step up? I know Auburn had a couple of picks, you know, in that second half, but did you still have the offenses moving the ball up and down the field in the fourth, or did things finally slow down in that regard?
There was only one time when Auburn actually defensively stopped South Carolina. Other than that, both teams were able to move the ball downfield, and there was a pick thrown by Dylan Thompson. Still a really good throw for him. The play was made by Jonathan Jones by Auburn, and he really had to go out and make a play on the ball. But the defense never stopped the ability of the offense to build rhythm and kind of drive the ball downfield. You know, it just ended up being a really good red zone play by Auburn. And it was a play that made the difference. And then also the defense had to come out the last series of the game for South Carolina and make a stop with about a minute 15 left, and they did make that. So in the end, Auburn's defense did have to step up, and they just happened to have a couple more key plays in South Carolina. I mean, they were never able to stop Auburn at all. It was as if, you know, every single time Auburn's offense took the field, you knew that they were going to score. And Spurrier knew it. He had to end up converting. I think it was 5 fourth down at him. So they went into it thinking that they had 4 downs every single time their offense had the ball.
I know you were out on the field, not in the media room, or I don't think you got back there in time to hear Spurrier's comments. But as he has been known to do over the years, he is not afraid to throw assistants under the bus, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And poor Wandy Ward, the Alabama alum, really catching some serious grief. Do you think that is just Steve Spurrier being Steve Spurrier, or should Wamby be getting the resume ready right now?
You know, I think what happened was we just really didn't pay attention to how much losing your defensive, losing Kelsey Quarles as well. I don't think we give him enough credit for South Carolina and Clowney. And then having to rebuild that line and really only one starter coming back. They have a lot of youth in the secondary. I mean, and you're going against SEC caliber offenses, so I'm not sure he has to get his resume ready quite yet. But I do know that Spurrier's not happy at all. I don't know if you give him another year because there'll be more experience on the defense or what at that point. I'm glad I don't have those kind of decisions to make. But think about South Carolina's defense as a whole. I mean, it's been great up until this year.
Yeah, rent, don't buy, usually the advice in coaching most of the time anyway. Talking to Maria Taylor, the SEC Network broadcaster on the sidelines for Auburn in South Carolina. I'm looking at the quarterback numbers, and Dylan Thompson goes 29 of 50 for 402 yards, the 3 picks, but 5 touchdowns, minus the picks. Those are the type numbers that he has to have. And then I look over at Nick Marshall, 12 of 14, 139 yards. That's about all they need from him, isn't it? Especially if he's going to run 10 more times for about 90 yards in that offense.
Yeah, I think what we see is Auburn just has to stay true to who they are. There's no need to put Nick Marshall in a ton of passing situations if you don't have to, because they're so successful on the run, and he's so great at making those reads, and it seems like he's gotten better and better at that. Gus Malzahn has continued to praise the fact that he is making the plays when he's forced to pass and he has to. So he does make good decisions there. But again, if he only has to pass 130 yards, then that's just fine. Dylan Thompson, he has got to throw the ball. He had over 100 yards in the first quarter, but it was absolutely necessary for South Carolina to be even in the game, in the conversation against Auburn.
There was a lot of talk going into the game for Auburn that behind Cameron Artis Payne, you would see a lot more of Rock Thomas than you had, decreased opportunities for Corey Grant, and that was the case. Grant only had one carry. He caught one pass. That was a big one, though, for 28 yards. Talk about what you saw from the running back rotation. Obviously, the big story, Cameron Artis Payne, 25 carries for the contest and 167 yards.
Yeah, I think we're seeing that Cap is definitely taking the place of Trey Mason, and he's going to be the workhorse for Auburn. But going into that week, we thought after the bye week, we would see a little bit more Rock Thomas, the true freshman, because coaches have been just very happy with the way he's progressed throughout the season. I know they wanted to keep him out of third down situations because they had enough experience in Cameron Artis Payne and also in Corey Grant where they didn't have to put him in there. But you can just see the production ultimately is coming from Cap, so why slow him down or take him out? And they have no problem giving him 25 carries a game. And the rotation might become smaller and smaller as these games get closer and closer because of what he's been able to prove in these past weeks with the 100-yard rushing games a couple of times.
SEC Network broadcaster Maria Taylor joining us here on Tide 99.1 for the next couple of minutes. Let's kind of bounce around the league a little bit. You've seen a great many of these squads, if not all of them, by the time we get to this point of the season. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on Ole Miss LSU? I know, again, that one was going on the same time that I was in Knoxville and that you were down on the plains. But it you know, equally entertaining game, although the scoring total much different from the ball game that you had. LSU given up for done 3 weeks ago, and now they're playing their way back in to where Tiger fans are going to be absolutely going nuts in 2 weeks when the Tide comes rolling in.
Yeah, and I think the great thing for LSU right now is the fact that they get to play at home in Death Valley. I mean, there's something just eerie about that place if you have to come in there and play at night. And they end up making the plays that they had to play. I think they finally settled in on their quarterback, Jennings, and they're just going to let him take control. He's not going to make spectacular plays all the time, but he's not going to make the big mistakes that cost you the entire game. Not that they've gotten from him. Not only that, the kind of poise that he shows, and I can kind of see on the sidelines, the team rallies around that guy. They believe that they can win with him. So they've got some security there. The defense seems to get better every single week. We saw in that defensive battle against Ole Miss. So it's going to be a really good one when Alabama comes in there, and these fans are ready to kind of flip the SEC West on its head now that they've got the win over Ole Miss.
All right, Mississippi State has two ranked opponents left. Arkansas, though, is the next team. They do come to Starkville. Any chance at all that the Bulldogs get caught with their foot off the gas this weekend when the Hogs come in?
Well, I think that Arkansas has been so one-dimensional on defense, and that one dimension Mississippi State has proven that they know how to defend. I mean, they can stop the run. We've seen it all season long. So I think that they're maybe a slow start. I think we kind of saw it against Kentucky. But one thing that Mississippi State hasn't done this year is shown us that they lose. You know, they find a way to win every single game. And usually it's a pretty compelling win. So there hasn't really been a drop-off. This is a team that's on a mission. It seems like they're all on one accord. The Fighting Dan Mullins is what we kind of call them around the office. Because, you know, they're just following the leader and doing exactly what he asks of them. And you never really see a lapse in the ability of them to put the physical and the mental together on the field. So I don't really see it happening against Arkansas.
All right, the College Football Playoff Selection Committee will have its first poll released tomorrow night, 6:30. Do you think it will look dramatically different at all from what we're seeing in the AP and the coaches' polls?
I really don't. I mean, because it's going to have a really hard time proving that any other team belongs in the playoff at this point. And I believe that what the AP poll does so well is taking into account the entire national scene. There's never been a time where I looked at the poll and said, that's just not right. So it'll be interesting to see, though. I mean, that whole the human error factor and just having a completely different group of people it'll be interesting to see what football looks like or what their take on college football is, because I guess it could be different from the AP poll, but I don't see it happening right now just because the SEC has been so compelling. And, you know, Florida State, we already have the unbeaten there, and then you just can't walk away from what the SEC has been able to do this season.
All right, Maria, I need you to put my audience's mind at ease, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You have the power to do this right now. Let's say Ole Miss wins out. Alabama, with an incredibly tough month of November, should they run the table, though, and beat what is right now a 16th-ranked LSU team, a top-ranked Mississippi State team, and right now a number 4-ranked Auburn team? Do you see any scenario that, regardless of who wins the SEC title, Alabama gets locked out of a 4-team playoff?
There's always a possibility. Right?
you did not. That pause and then the words that followed did not help traffic on Jack Warner Parkway or McFarland, I assure you.
There's just so much more football to be played out. I know. It just seems there's only been, what, 2 months we were thinking about, months ago, kind of like the start of the season, but there's still so much left to play and so many big games on the slate. I can't even imagine how it's going to end, you know, and Alabama just, they have to play their way. It's almost a situation where normally you're thinking, oh, Alabama's in. I don't think they have to play their way through the rest of the season to get there, because it really doesn't get any easier, you know. So it's always, I think it's a possibility.
Yeah, that's just so, I mean, there's so much, and I knew that when threw it out there, but I just gonna see which way you go. Hey, I know you got work to do. I'll let you run, but I've got to imagine you had a lot of fun with all the basketball folks in town Monday and Tuesday of last week up in Charlotte.
Oh, that was great. Got to meet Anthony Grant for the first time, talked to some of the kids, and I never get to be around men's basketball, so it was good to see them all come in. And then, of course, women's, I've been covering it for the last 2 years, so right in my comfort zone there. I had a really good time with that.